Welcome to the Shir in Lekutei Sichis. We are learning the Sicha in Chelek Yud, Parshas Vayeshev, Sicha Aleph, and this is the Iyun Shir. As it is the Iyun Shir, we're not going to be learning the whole Sicha inside. Instead, we're going to be focusing on one particular detail in the Sicha and exploring this Inyan in depth, Be'iyun. Specifically, we're going to be focusing on Ha'ora 10. So, before we actually look at the Ha'ora, just some background. You don't really need to learn the Sicha to learn the Ha'ora. The Ha'ora is a self-standing discussion. One can learn it by itself. It's almost a miniature Sicha unto itself. But, again, before we learn it, just a little bit of background from the Sicha to see where the Ha'ara comes up. So the Sicha is based on the Pasuk in the beginning of the Parsha, V'ni'anachnu ma'almi ma'lumi b'saych ha'soda, where it's Yosef's first dream, and he dreams that him and his brothers are all being ma'almi ma'lumim in the field. And then, Koma alumasi v'gam nitzava, Yosef's aluma stands up, and all of the other alumas bow down. That's the dream. So it's a Rashi Sicha, based on the Rashi, on the words ma'almi ma'lumim. And Rashi explains that basically ma'almi ma'lumim means they were tying sheaves, they were binding sheaves. Sheaves are bundles of grain. And not getting into all of the protim, the Arichas of the Sicha, but in Oiz Beis, the Rebbe explains a very interesting Nakuda. And that is, that why is Rashi out to say that Alumim are bundles of grain? Vos Brentem, what's pushing Rashi in this direction to say that Alumim, Ma'almim Alumim, is bundles of grain? So the Rebbe explains that Rashi wants that not just the general dream of Yosef should be a nevuah on the future, but even the protim in the dream. Meaning that, of course, the general theme of Yosef's dream, that his brothers are bowing down to him, that's a nevuah, that in the future, Taka, that's what happened, when Yosef's brothers came down to Mitzrayim, they bowed down to him. So that's how the dream in general is a nevuah. But Rashi wants to explain that not just the Teichen Kloli of the dream is a Nevuah, even the Perotim within the dream are also Mechuvon and precise. And in our case, what's the detail that Rashi is focusing on? He's focusing on why is it that the dream is about Ma'almim Alumim? If all you want to do is show that the brothers are bowing down to Yosef, could be anything. Anything bowing down to Yosef is a dream and it's a Nevuah. Why is it that Yosef specifically dreamed that ma'almim alumim? Why was the alumim or the alumais, why is that the symbol that's being used in Yosef's dream to show that they're going to bow down to Yosef? So that's why Rashi explains that ma'almim alumim is they were binding sheaves, bundles of grain, because this is mechuvan. Why is it and how is it, in what context did Yosef's brothers bow down to him? Because there was no food, there was no grain in Eretz Yisrael, and the only place that had grain was Mitzrayim, and they went down to buy grain in Mitzrayim, and Yosef, he was in charge, and they bowed down to Yosef in the context of buying grain in Mitzrayim. So we see that not just the Teichen Kloli of the dream is a Nevuah, that one day the brothers would bow down to Yosef, but even the fact that Yosef specifically dreamed about v'ne'anachunu ma'almim alumim, even that is mechuvan, even that is precise and exact as to what the future was going to be, which is why Rashi explains dafka that it's bundles of grain. That's the point that he makes in the Sicha. Now, in Ha'ora 10, he asks a question. I'm going to read it inside. Va'af shem muchrach shadug meti yebeize davar vimkein einay muchrach pshutishal mikra shayye ala prat L'chayra, he's asking a question on the whole beer in the Sikha. The whole beer in the Sikha is that the fact that Yosef dreamed in Anachnu Ma'almim Alumim, that particular symbol, that's precise, that's exact. So he's asking, but l'chayra, it's not muchrach to explain it this way. Why? Because Yosef has to dream about something. The message that the brothers are going to bow down to Yosef one day, that message has to be conveyed in the dream using some kind of imagery. There has to be some image, some symbol that conveys that message. So it's got to be something. So since it has to be something, so whatever it is, at the end of the day, l'chayra, we don't need to have a reason why it was that thing. You can ask, why was it ma'almi ma'lumin? Why was it, why not? Has to be something. If it has to be something, if we need something to be a dugma, if we need something to use in the dream as the symbol with which to convey the message of the dream, so it has to be something. So why the Torah, why the Eibishter chose to tell it to him through ma'almi ma'lumin or through something else? He's asking l'chayra, there doesn't need to be a reason in Pshuto Shel Mikra why a particular image or a particular symbol was chosen, because since you need to use something, so it's anything, it's random, whatever it is, it is. If it wasn't this, it was something else, you'd ask, why is it that? And if it wasn't that, it was something else, you'd say, why is it that? You can always ask why it is what it is. But since it has to be something, so it is, it's anything. It's anything, it's random, and mekenisht fregin, mudarfnisht fregin, why it's this thing. So therefore, why is the Sikha making a big deal and explaining that ma'al mi'malumim is dafka, the way Rashi explains, is that they were bundling grain, they were making bundles of grain, and that's mechuvan to what was going to be later, that they would come down to Yosef and bow down because of the grain, when they came to buy grain. Why are we trying to explain why the dream was ma'almi ma'lumim? Just say, whatever, it was something. It had to be something. It happened to be ma'almi ma'lumim. L'chayr, it's not muchrach in Pshuto Shel Mikra to give a reason for why a particular image or symbol is chosen, because it has to be something. That's the question that he asks in the Ha'ara. And he's mechazik the question. K'moy b'chaloymi ha'beis shel Yosef. If you look at the second dream of Yosef, where it was She'ein Rashi Mefarash Shlomo Hoya Chaloyim B'Shemesh V'chulu, Rashi doesn't bother to explain why in the second dream, what was the imagery there, what was the symbol there, the sun and the moon and the stars. Doesn't explain it. Av She'yesh Neitam L'zeh, even though there are reasons why Dafke was the Shemesh. He says, Rebbe Ebereshes Rabba, She'shmi Shemesh, Yaakov's name was Shemesh. So there are reasons offered in Chazal why in the second dream he dreamed that it was the Shemesh and the Yareyach and the Kechavim, but Rashi doesn't bother to explain because it's not a question. Can't ask why was the dream about the sun and the moon and the stars. It's not a question. Because again, the point of the dream is to show that they would bow down to Yosef, and so what is going to be chosen to convey this message? What's going to be the image? What's going to be the symbol? It could be anything. It has to be something, and since it has to be something, it could be anything, and if it could be anything, we don't ask why this thing. Same thing later when we read about the dreams of the Sar HaMashkim. The Sar HaMashkim dreamed about a grapevine that was growing grapes. Again, there also Rashi doesn't explain why the Sar HaMashkim dreamt about a grapevine. Va'oid Shel Pari, same thing by the dreams of Pari, B'tchilas Parshas Miketz. Pari dreamed that there was the seven skinny cows that ate the seven fat cows, and then the seven skinny stalks that ate the seven fat stalks. Like Kosev Rashi Tama Zeshachalei Mayadavka Beparos B'Tvuah. There again, Rashi does not explain why Pari dreamed specifically about Paros and Tvuah, because again, that's not a question. There, the point was, Pari was dreaming that there would be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. So the Eibishter had to show him this idea in a dream. So he has to choose something, some image, some symbol to show it to him. So he chose Paris and Tvuah. Why did he choose Dafke this? It's not a question. Since we have to choose something, we're muchrach to have some kind of a dugma. So whatever it is, it is. It's random. There does not have to be an explanation why a specific image or symbol is being chosen within a dream to convey the message of the dream. So therefore, again, that's the question that the Sikha is that he, in Ha'ara, he's asking on the Sikha, why are we bothering to explain ma'almi ma'lumim the significance of the fact that it was bundling bundles of grain? L'chayra, whatever ma'almi ma'lumim is, there doesn't have to be a reason why that was chosen in the dream. We need something, so this is what it is. That's the question. So the Ha'ara is going to go on to explain how we do need to give a reason. And he's going to then go through all of these dreams that we just mentioned where a reason is not given and explain in each of these dreams the significance behind the symbols that are used within each dream. So that's where the Ha'ara is headed. However, before we continue, there is a Shulei HaGilyon. And the Shulei HaGilyon is a fascinating discussion. On the opening lines of the Ha'ara, which is the question of the Ha'ara, that since we must have some dugma, shemuchrech shadugma tiya be'eza dover, since we need something to use in the dream, some image, some example, some symbol, im kein einim muchrach b'pshuti shel mikra, therefore, it's not muchrach that there should be a reason in Pshuta Shel Mikra why a particular image was chosen. So on this, he has a very interesting discussion. He takes the idea in a very abstract way and talks about the question that's at the heart of this discussion. There's a principle here that's at the heart of this question. There's a principle here which is Nishtazay Pashit. And that principle is, if something is muchrach, does it then have significance? Should we talk about why something is the way it is, if it has to be that way? Meaning, l'chayra, one can taina, when does it make sense to learn pshat and find meaning and find significance in why something is a certain way? Only makes sense if there were options. It could have been like this. It could have been like that. It could have been a third way. So why is it dafke the way it is? There must be meaning. Must be significance. So it makes sense to look for explanations, to look for meaning, when something is not muchrach. But seemingly, when something is muchrach, when something has to be a certain way, couldn't be any other way. So if it can't be any other way, seemingly it doesn't make sense to go start clearing and being chayker, why is it this way? What do you mean, why is it this way? This is the only way it could be. It's muchrach to be this way. And if it's muchrach to be this way, it doesn't make sense to ask why it is that way and to look for meaning in why it is the way it is. So this is the discussion that he has in the Shulei HaGilyon about this question. And again, it ties into the whole premise of the Ha'ara. The whole premise of the Ha'ara is that since it's muchrach, since we must have something as an example, we must have something in the dream to use as an image and as a symbol, so if we must have something, so you can't start asking why we have what we have. Why is it a malmi malumim? Why in Paris dream is it Paris? Why is it Tvua? Why by the Saramashkim is it a vine? He's asking in the Ha'ara, you can't ask that question. It's not a valid question, because since we're muchrach to have something as a dogma, since we must have some image, some symbol, so it is what it is. So here's what he says. Lahoir, mimashakosuf ha'goyin ha'ragachove, the beis ha'deis ba'piskin, da b'choyrin v'haskenim, Yerushalmi Sanhedrin soy perak aleph, fascinating Rogatchover. So there was like this. When the Eibishter decided to take the service in the Mishkan away from the firstborns and give it to the Levim, so each Bechoyer basically was redeemed by a Levi. Each Bechoyer was swapped by a Levi. So the Bechoyer left the service of the Mishkan, and a Levi took his place, and like that, the Bechor Yotze L'chulin. The Bechor was redeemed by being replaced with a Levi. The problem was that there was 273 more Bechorim than Leviim. There was 22,000 Leviim, and there was 22,273 Bechorim. So if you swap one Bechor for one Levi, 22,000 Bechorim are taken care of, but 273 Reisha and Gimel Bechorim don't have a Levi to replace them. So the Torah says that these Leviim, these Bechorim, have to give 5 shekel. They have to be paid to themselves with 5 shekel. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? How did he decide which Bechorim were going to be swapped with a Levi for free, and which 273 Bechorim are going to have to pay the 5 shekelim? So he made a goyel. So here's the machlokes that we have in Yerushalmi. First opinion says, very simple. How did he make a goyel? He took 22,000 pieces of paper and he wrote on them Ben Levi. And then he took 273 pieces of paper and he wrote on them Heishkolim. And he put them all inside a box and he told the Bechorim to each come pick one paper. So any Bechor that got a paper that said Ben Levi, so he was redeemed by a Levi. And any Bechor which picked up a paper that said Chamisha Shkolim, so he had to pay 5 shkolim. That's the first opinion. The second opinion says, nope, that's not what happened. Because if that's what happened, there's a few different ways to learn Pshat in the Gemara there. I'll go with one mahalach. Second opinion says, if that's what happened, then you can have a mitzias where, let's say, the 22,000 slips Ben Levi have already been picked, and there's still a few more Bechorim who have to pick out of the Goyrul, and they know that they're going to get the paper that says Chamisha Shkolim, because that's the only papers that are left in the box. And these Levim, these Bechorim will taina that for them, it's not a fair Goyrul. They're coming at the end, they're picking at the end. By them, the result is already guaranteed. And they will say, had there been more Ben Levi slips in the box, we could have picked a slip that says Ben Levi. So therefore, it couldn't be this way. So the second opinion says that what happened was, Moshe created 22,273 pieces of paper that all said Ben Levi. And in addition to that, 273 pieces of paper that said Chamisha Shkolim. So therefore, potentially, every single Bechor could have picked Ben Levi. There was enough slips Ben Levi for each Bechor to pick Ben Levi. And Bederech Nes, the Eibishter made, that in the end, only 22,000 Bechorim picked Ben Levi, and the other 273 picked Chamisha Shkolim. But according to the second opinion, at least at the time that every Bechor picked, theoretically, they could have picked Ben Levi, because there was enough Ben Levi slips for all of them to pick. And the Eibishter made it that it shouldn't be that way. The Eibishter made that the exact amount, the 22,000 Bechorim, should pick Ben Levi, and the other 273 should pick Chamisha Shkolim. That's the Machlokes in the Yerushalmi. So the Rogachover explains the machlokes is like this: pligi beim davar hechrechi hu gam kein begeder hashgacha. This klal, this principle, if something is muchrach, if something has to be, can we say that it's still coming from hashgacha el yoina? Let's put it in the situation of the bechayrim. By the same thing happened by the skenim. The skenim, they had to choose 70 skenim from 12 shvatim. So basically, you have 10 Shvatim gave 6, and 2 Shvatim only gave 5. So again, it worked with the same goyel. So there again, the machlokes is, did Moshe put in 72 pieces of paper that said Zokain. That's the second opinion. There were 72 pieces of paper that said Zokain. So the six people from every Shevet, 6 times 12, 72. So therefore each person could have potentially picked Zokain. Or did he only have 70 which said Zokain and 2 which were blank? If you didn't catch that, don't worry about it. The same idea as by the Bechayim. So the Rogachover explains, this is the Machlekes. According to the first opinion, he says you can have, let's talk about the Bechayim, which is the one that we spoke about. You can have 22,000 slips of paper that say Ben Levi, and 273 which say Chamisha Shkolim, and every person that picks, his pick is coming from the Eibishter. It's Mehashgocha El Yoyna. You could have a Metzias, like we said, that the Bechorim who are picking in the end, there's no more Ben Levi slips in the box. There's only Chamisha Shkolim slips left in the box, and they're Muchrach to pick the slip which says Chamisha Shkolim. Nevertheless, this opinion says, even something which is Muchrach is still together Hashgocha. The Eibishter is controlling it. The Eibishter is making it that way. Every Ben Levi who picked, his piece of paper that ended up in his hand is Me'ashgocha El Yoyna. The Bechayim who are picking last, they only have Chamisha Shkolim slips. They're Muchrach to pick Chamisha Shkolim. Still, it's Begadar Hashgocha. That's what the first opinion says. Mashenkin, the second opinion says, no, if he did it that way, you'd have a problem. Because the Bechayim who are picking in the end are Muchrach to pick Chamisha Shkolim. And that's not going to be Begadar Hashgocha. That's not going to be coming from the Eibishter. So therefore, it had to be, like he says, where there was 22,273 Ben Levi slips. And when every single Bechayim picked, there was in the box the possibility to pick Ben Levi or to pick Chamisha Shkolim. And if they picked Chamisha Shkolim, then it's Begadar Hashgocha, since it's not Muchrach. So we see this Machlekes here. Again, if something is Muchrach, if something has to be, can I still say that it's Begadar Hashgocha? That the Eibishter is orchestrating it? That the Eibishter is controlling it? Or no, if it's Muchrach, if it has to be, if there's only Ben Levi, if there's only Chamisha Shkolim slips, then you cannot say that what the guy's picking is Begadar Hashgocha. So this is the Machlekes. If something is Muchrach, can I say that it's still coming from Hashgocha Elyoyna or not? So this ties in again to our discussion here in the Ha'arah. Since we're Muchrach to have something as a dugma in the dream, since we're Muchrach to have something as a symbol, something as an image in the dream, so should we find significance into what the symbol is? Should we say, even though we must have a symbol, nevertheless, whatever symbol is chosen, that's for a reason, and we should find a reason, and we should find significance? Or should we say, no, since it's Muchrach that you have to have something used as an image in the dream, so whatever it is, and there's no significance behind it. There's no meaning behind it. He continues in the Shuli Hagil. You know, Bechlal, D'binyonei Torah v'kayetze v'zeh gam ha'protim chashivusum bifnei atzmom af shemuchrachim hei. The Rebbe goes on to say that udalei kashita b'mer nevuchim chelek alav perek ayin beis v'tzofnas paneach l'sha. Goes on to say that even if you want to say that in Inyonei Ha'olam, in matters of the world, if something is Muchrach, then maybe there's no significance, maybe there's no meaning, because it has to be that way. But in Torah, in Inyonei Torah, even Pratim, even minor details have Chashivus Bifnei Atzmam, have their own significance, have their own meaning, and even if those Pratim are Muchrach to be the way they are, they couldn't be differently, doesn't matter. In Torah, every prat is choshev b'fnei atzmo, even if the prat is muchrach. Not like the Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim. So therefore, in our case, we're discussing Torah. Right? The dreams of Yosef are mentioned in Torah. And if Torah told us that in Yosef's dream, it was ma'almim alumim, the dream was about these alumais, then even though the fact that we have a symbol in the dream is muchrach, and therefore, you might want to argue that there's no significance there. But no, since it's an inyan in Torah, there definitely has to be chashivus in the prat of what's chosen as the image in the dream, even though it's muchach to have something. He goes on to say, "V'nafkamina gam be'enei halacha ve'gam lehepech." There's also an afkamina lehalacha, but going the opposite. We'll see what that means in a second. What's the gam lehepech? And that is the din of halacha. The din is the case of halacha de lepa'omim b'teila. Zvachim yudgimel amr aleph I im hava avayda. So there's a machlekes there in Zvachim about halacha. Halacha means when they would bring the blood, they would shech the animal, they would be mekabel the dam, and then they would have to bring the dam to the mizbeach. So bringing the dam to the mizbeach is called halacha. So is halacha considered an avayda or not? My nafkamina, if a kohen was doing halacha, and during that time he had a machshava peiselis. A machshava that the kind of machshava that disqualifies the carbon. So does that disqualify the carbon? So if we consider halacha to be a chelik of the avoda, then if you have a machshava peiselis during halacha, then the whole carbon is possible. But if halacha is not part of the avoda, then if you have a bad machshava during halacha, it's not ma'akev, it doesn't matter. So there's a machlekes whether halacha is begeder avoda. The shita who says it's not, why should it not be part of the avodah? So he says, because it's not muchrach. You don't need to have halacha. Theoretically, you could shech the animal right next to the mizbeach, betzad mizbeach, and there's no need to walk the dam. It's only that you're choosing to shech it far away and you have to walk. But the walking of the dam from the animal to the mizbeach isn't muchrach be'etzem. That's the lashon halacha dilapamim b'teila. Halacha sometimes could be bottle. Not always do you need halacha. Sometimes you need it, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't. It's not muchrach. So since halacha is pa'amim b'teila, since sometimes you don't need it at all, because you can shecht right next to the mizbeach, so therefore, not necessarily is it part of the avodah. So it's a machlekes. So one opinion says, even though it's not muchrach, you could do without it, nevertheless, it is part of the avodah. And the other opinion says, no, since it's not muchrach, so it's not part of the avodah. So here you see the same principle playing out lahalacha, but lahepech. Why is it lahepech? Because here it chaps the opposite. If halacha, the more muchrach it is, the more it is avoda. Before it was the opposite way. Before it was the opposite, the other way around. If something is muchrach, it's more shvach, right? The more muchrach it is, the less reason to find chashivas in it. The less muchrach it is, the more random it is, the more it didn't have to be that way, the more reason to find chashivus in it. But here, it's a sechap the opposite. That by halacha, if halacha, by aveda, the more muchrach that step is for aveda, the more it should be classified as aveda, and the less necessary, the less muchrach, the less it's part of avoda. But again, we have the same achleikas. So one opinion says, since it's not muchrach, since you can do without it, so therefore, doesn't have chashivus. Because le'inyan avoda needs to be muchrach. And the other opinion says, no, even though it's not muchrach, nevertheless, it's still part of the avoda. So it's they're arguing on the same principle as the machlekes in Yerushalmi by the Bechayrim and the Skenim, but just lehepech. There, by the Bechayrim and the Skenim, the more muchrach, the less hashgacha. And here, the more muchrach, the better. The more it is part of the avodah. But again, it's the same machlekes. If something is muchrach or not muchrach, does that give it more chshivas or less chshivas? And he concludes, Va'id, Reitz Afnas Paneach, Trumas, Mem, Aleph, Madura Tanina, and Aleph Beis, and Mefaneach Tzfunois Perek Zayin. So there's one more example there from the Rogatchover that he brings. That is, that there's a Gemara in Me'ila on Daf Chaf Aleph, where the Mishnah says that if a person sent Mois, money in the hands of a cheresh out of a cotton. Mois shall hektish. And he told him to go to the store and buy something. So the Mishnah says that if the cheder shaita v'katan did what the mishaleich asked them to do, and they went to the store and they bought what he told them to buy, so the mishaleich who sent them is over on me'ila. He's over on me'ila. So the Gemara asks, why is the Mishaleach over on Me'ila, v'ho lab b'nei shlichus aninu, cheder shayta v'katan are not b'nei shlichus aninu? So why should what they did cause the Mishaleach to be over? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Elazar, asom kimotan shel zeisim. This is compared to a bowl of olives. The Tana and Zeisim, Yemes and Mekabim Tum, Mishia Ziu Zeyas Hamaoton Vlei Zeyas Akupa. There's a din that in order for fruits to become Mukhshel Latuma, they have to come into contact with one of the Zayin Mashkin. So this Mishnah says basically that if you have a bunch of olives sitting in a box, in a bowl, the olives secrete some kind of zeya, some kind of liquid, and that liquid which gathers is good, you want it, you're happy that it's there. So therefore, in that case, the olives become mukhshulatuma. From the liquid which seeps out of the olives themselves and gathers in the bottom of the bowl, that itself makes the zeisim mukhshulatuma because the balabais is happy with that liquid. So what's the comparison? So here also, even though the cheder shayta v'katan lav b'nei shlichus aninu, nevertheless, since the balabas is happy with what they did, they went to the store and they bought exactly what he wanted, so it's considered like the balabas was moyel. So Taisus there asks a question. He says, why does the Gemara have to bring this Mishnah of zeisim asom kimotan shal zeisim hazeisim emesai mekapen tumim shiaziu zeya samotan? Why does the Gemara have to bring that Mishnah? L'chayra, there's a much simpler Mishnah to bring, and that's the Mishnah of oideyu hatal aleihem, which is a person took up peiros to the roof to dry, and he left them there overnight, and as a result they got wet from tal, from dew. So the Mishnah there says, "Aydeyu atal aleihem," if they're still wet from tal, and he's happy that they got wet, then they're mukshelatuma. As long as he wants them to be wet with tal, they're mukshelatuma. So there, lachar, you see the same principle that as long as he's happy with the fact that it got wet, even though he didn't do it. Begufa, he didn't do it himself. It just happened. But as long as he's happy, it's mukshelatuma. So same thing over here. Even though the guy didn't himself do meila, it just sort of happened. He sent it to the cheder shayta v'katan who alav b'nei shlichus aninu. So we won't say that shluchish ladam kamoise. We'll just say that it happened by itself. But if he's happy about it, then he was moil. So basically, Tosfos is asking, what do I need this mission of the zeisim in the box? Which essentially says the same thing, that even though he didn't do it, as long as he's happy with it, they're mukhshelatuma. But why do I need that Mishnah? Why can't I see the same thing from the Mishnah of Oideyu Hatal Aleihem? And Tosfos answers that there's a difference. V'shem ahosam ikum ma'isam yubidei shamayim. There, in the case of the Tal, at least there's a ma'isam yubidei shamayim. L'hocha aisi ha'idezeya sazeisim dememeila. Whereas in our case of the zeisim in the box that secrete some kind of zeya, that's b'derech memeila. So the way the Rogat Shavar explains this is same thing that we've been saying all along. In the case of the Aideyu Atal Aleihem, when he took Peiros up to the roof and they got wet from dew, from tal, in that case it's easier to understand why it's mukhshir l'tumah. Even though the person himself wasn't mukhshir l'tumah, but it also didn't happen b'derech memeila. Didn't happen by itself. It happened b'day shamayim. There was a pu'ula b'day shamayim that the Eibishter brought about tal, And that towel made it wet. So it's a ma'aseh bidei shamayim. So yes, it wasn't that the person himself poured mashke on the peiros, but bidei shamayim there was a ma'aseh. Whereas in the case that the Gemara does bring of the zeisim in the box, there was no ma'aseh bidei shamayim. There was no pu'ula from anywhere. The zeisim on their own, the lashon of Tosfos is, it's memela. The zeisim on their own secrete. The way the Rogge Chover explains it, it's muchrach. Here it's muchrach. In the case of the tal, it's not muchrach. Maybe there'll be tal, maybe there won't be tal. Maybe the peiros will get wet on the roof, maybe they won't get wet. So if they got wet, we can say, oh, they got wet and you're happy about it. It's muchshel l'tumah. Ah, you didn't do it, but you're happy about it. And didn't have to get wet. It took a special ma'aseh bidei shamayim to make them wet. So that's better. But in the case of the zeisim in the box, by nature, by the teva, the zeisim secrete. They secrete liquid. So it's muchrach that there's going to be some kind of liquid gathering in the bottom of the bowl, and the zeisim are going to be wet. That doesn't take a ma'aseh at all. Not bidei shamayim, not bidei adam, it's muchrach. So maybe, since it's muchrach, maybe it's not muchshel l'tumah. So this is a bigger chidush, that still it's muchshel l'tumah. And this is more daima to a sholach b'yad cheresh hoytov v'katan to our case, since the cheresh hoytov v'katan are labnei shel chusaninu, it's more daima to the case of the zeisim in the box where there's no ma'aseh at all. Not even a ma'aseh b'dei shamayim. But al kaponim, what are we taking from this? That again, it's the same point that Tosfos makes, that there's a fundamental difference between something which is muchrach and something which is not muchrach. In the case of the peiros that you took up to the roof and they got wet with tal, with dew, that's easier to, that's less of a chiddush that it's muchshel l'tumah, because it wasn't muchrach. Maybe they would get wet, maybe they wouldn't get wet. Whereas in the case of the zeisim in the bowl that secrete their own liquid and get wet from their own liquid, since that's muchrach, it's a much bigger chiddush to say that nevertheless, it's still machshel zeisim l'tumah. And that's the bigger chiddush, which is relevant there in that Gemara to the dimin techeres shayta v'kata. But again, I see this nekuda that if something is muchrach or not muchrach, it has more or less chashivus. When it's more muchrach, it seems to be weaker. When it's less muchrach, it seems to be stronger. Al kapanim, let's get back to the actual ha'ara. So that was the shuli hagilyon. So the point again that we're coming back to is in the case of Yosef's dream, the fact that there has to be some symbol in the dream is muchrach. And therefore, maybe since it's a muchrach to have something as a symbol, maybe we shouldn't bother with finding out and discussing why it was a particular ma'al mimalumi, or why in the other dreams it was the particular image that it was. So now we continue the ha'orah. Mikol makay muvon shayumtak yaiser leima shemuchuvonim gamapratu. Even though there may not be necessary in traditional mikra to find a reason for what the image and the symbol in the dream is, nevertheless, it's hizmer geshmak if we can also explain the prat. Ubemiyuchad b'chaloyim ben skunim de Yaakov, especially if we're talking about not stam the dream of anybody, but this is the son of Yaakov and the ben zukunim of Yaakov. V'she Yaakov mamtinu metzapel achaloyim, Yaakov himself was waiting for the dream to be mekuyim. So such a choshev a dream of such a choshev a person surpassed, or it says mer geshmak, that even the protim are significant. And therefore, Rashi is explaining malmi malumim that it was bundles of grain, because that explains the chashivus and the exactness of this particular dream, that the Dahidavka dreamed about Ma'almi Ma'alumim, which is bundles of grain, which is going to be the reason that brings the brothers down to Mitzrayim, the grain. Now he continues with the other dreams. What about the second dream of Yosef? Shemesh, the Yareach, and the Kechavim. Now that we're saying that it's not just the dream in general, that's Mechuvan, but it's also the Pratim, even the choice of image, the choice of symbol, is also exact. So what's the significance in the second dream to the Shemesh and the Yareach and the Kechavim? Why were these chosen in the second dream? What connection do they have to what happened later to the nevuah of the dream. So here he says shemuvin bepashtus. Here it's moving bepashtus. Vad she'ein Rashi tzarach lefarshei. Rashi doesn't even have to explain this one. Why? Shelarameiz al Yaakov ha'shvotim anoshim achi chashuvim tzarach she'i achaloyim bedvorim achi chashuvim ba'olam hashemesh v'chulu. Here it's pashut. These symbols of the sun, moon, and the stars, they are representing Yaakov and the Shvatim. So if we're looking for something to represent Yaakov and the Shvatim, since they are Anoshim Achi Chashuvim, such chashuv a people, for sure we have to look for something which is in itself chashuv. So therefore we have to choose, so it makes sense why he would dream about the Shemesh and the Yerech and the Kechavim, and why these things, Dafke, would be symbolic and symbols for Yaakov and the Shvatim. That takes care of Yosef's dreams. Now let's talk about the Saramashkim. He dreamed about a vine that grew, and then there was grapes, and he took the grapes, and he squeezed them into Pari's cup, and he put the cup on Pari's hand. So why did he have to dream about the vine, and the vine growing from the beginning all the way, and then getting grapes? Why this? Why this symbol? Now that we're saying that not just the dream in general is mechuvat, but even the particular image and the symbol is also exact. Why? Lahadgish achrayis alav meyat mitchilo v'adsoif. This is to emphasize that when the Saramashkim is going to get his achrayis back, he's going to be the Saramashkim. His achrayis is all the way from the beginning to the end. He's responsible for Pari's wine from the beginning, from the very growing of the grapevines, all the way till when it's served in Pari's cup, the whole achrayis of making wine and serving wine, from the beginning to the end, it's all going to be his achrayis. That's why he dreamed about a grapevine growing with grapes, and he was squeezing the grapes, showing that his responsibility for the wine of Pari is all the way from the beginning of the production until the end of the production. And now, b'chalom is Pari. What about Pari's dreams? So there also we understand. One of his dreams was about Shibolim, l'ramez al harov. And again, that was to hint to the rov, to the famine, which is a chesna tvua. The famine is a lack of tvua. So he dreamed about tvua. Makes perfect sense why the dream was about Shibolim. What about the second dream about the potters? Which according to the way Yosef explained the dream, why did Pari have two dreams? Why couldn't Pari have one dream? The reason why he had to have two dreams is because to show Goymer ki nochin adover Goymer mamar holikim, to show that the Eibishter is going to do it right away. If Pari just had one dream, then it could mean that it's going to happen sometime in the future, distant future. The fact that Pari had two dreams about the same thing shows that it's going to happen right away. So now we also understand why the second dream had to be not Shibolim, it had to be something else. Shelocha in Huchrach Echad Liya is Betoichen Acher Meyasheni. Rei Levush Ha'irasham. Levush Ha'ir explains that had Pari had the exact same dream twice, let's say Pari had the dream about the Shibolim twice, that would not be a simen that since it happened twice, it's going to be fulfilled right away. Because you can say, Pari had the dream once, and why did he have it? Why did he have it again? Because his mind was thinking about it after having the dream once, so he had a dream about it again. So that wouldn't prove anything. But only because the dream happened again, and it happened differently. So the fact that the dream happened again in a different way, that proved, oh, Pari is not just having the same dream again and again because he's thinking about it. This proves that the Eibishter is sending him the message twice because it's umemaher ho'alekim. It's going to come quickly. So the second dream could not be about Shibolim. It had to be about something else. Oh, so once it cannot be about Shibolim, it has to be about something else. What thing makes the next best sense? Harimuvan lo mahoya beparis. Now we understand why it was by paris. Because we use parais to plow fields. And the famine is going to affect the fields. Nothing's going to grow in the field. So the second dream couldn't be about the field itself, because that was the first dream, the Shibolim. And the second dream has to be different to show again that it's going to come quickly. So it had to be about parais, which are also shaykh to a field. Because bahem chershim hasadis. And also, may lidois gezera shebeshibalim. Also, because the paris are mylid gezera shebeshibalim. Ad kan is the ha'ara. So, what we see here, just to be mesakim, is that the sicha was machadish in a kuda, and that is that in all these dreams, not only is the toichen of the dream a nevuah in the future, but the particular choice of image and symbol that was used within each of these dreams is dafke for a reason. And even though we can argue that since something has to be chosen as a symbol, so therefore there's no reason to explain why the symbol is what it is. So now we have the whole arichis with all the examples, how this is a machlekes in kama v'kama mekaymes. But for sure the Rebbe says when something is part of Torah, matters of Torah, certainly every prat is chashuv, and especially in Yosef's dreams, for sure everything is meduyik and every prat is chashuv. So it comes out that in all of these dreams, the choice of what was used in the dream is meduyik. In the first dream of Yosef, it was about bundles of grain, because that's when the brothers would bow down to Yosef when they came to buy grain. The second dream was about the Shemesh and the Yerech and the Kechavim, because since we need to represent Yaakov and the Shvatim, we must use those things which are most choshev in the world. That's the Shemesh and the Kechavim. Sarah Mashkim's dream was about the vine growing and him taking the grapes and squeezing it into Paris' cup to show that his achrayis is not just to pour the wine in Paris' cup, but he's responsible for the whole production of wine, mitchila ad asayf. Then he explains Pari's dreams. The first one dream of Pari was about Shibolim, because it was talking about the famine, which is going to affect the Shibolim. And the second dream was about Pari's. Why? Because since it couldn't be about the Shibolim again, because then it wouldn't show on the fact that it's Mamayr or Lekim Asayf. So it had to be something different. It has to be something different. It has to be something which is different, but also close to the inyan of tevua in Sadeis, and that's Parais, Kibahem Chershim HaSadeis. Adkan is the Ha'ara, Adkan is the Shir, Vahamevin Yavin. Shekoyach.